Hi, and thank you for tuning in to Knowledge Base Live. Our goal is to further reach our members and continue to educate across different platforms. I am your host, Corey, and I really hope you enjoy these discussions and maybe take a piece of information with you that you may not have known. In this episode, we will chat with the Erin Anderson, Association Executive Assistant and our go-to girl for everything membership. Thanks for being here and recording with me today. I haven't seen you in person in like five months, but I'm predicting it right now. This will be our most popular episode because today you and I are breaking down our CARA membership process. Like, what do you do with your lockboxes if you retire? How do you transfer brokerages? That kind of stuff. And we will also briefly touch on our new program open to Edmonton realtors.
Awesome.
I should also preface by saying that these are our 2021 processes. So while we don't foresee any changes, we can't predict the future. I wouldn't be in this profession if I could predict the future. With that being said, let's get right into it.
Okay.
So, I am a broker who already belongs to CARA, hypothetically speaking, and we have a new recruit. Where do I begin?
The first thing that you as a broker needs to do is get that new agent licensed with RECA. So that's your first step. It helps in the process to make sure that by the time I get the paperwork to set them up in CARA, they're already a fully licensed, ready to go legal realtor. So from there, they would call me to get the membership paperwork. Once they sent that out to me, then I would set them up with Area and CREA as well. And they would be contacted at a later date by Area.
Perfect. So RECA first and then CARA.
That's correct.
Beautiful. That seems pretty straightforward. Yes. And then the paperwork you said that's for, it's called new member paperwork?
Or new associate form? Or new associate broker.
Perfect.
And,
okay.
Yeah.
So what if I'm a brand new brokerage or I already belong to, let's say, Grand Prairie or Calgary, but I want to join CARA? What are the steps there?
So it'd be the same process, although you're already licensed with RECA, presumably, since you're with CREB or whatever board you're with. So it's the same process. It would just be a simple call or an email to the association, to myself. I would email out the package. And then just the same process. When they would already be members of Area and CREA, they'd already be licensed with RECA, so it's just a simple process with CARA.
Perfect. All right, so that makes sense. Pretty straightforward. New members are new members. New brokerages, being that they belong to RECA and everything together, much quicker process. That's cool. What about any appraisals or property inspectors? If I'm a company owner, is it the same process?
We recently changed it, so then now they're considered a third-party contractor. Again, you'd still have to contact the association, contact out myself. For an appraiser company, there's a contract for that, which is the appraiser and the company. And then if there's anybody also involved with that same company, they have a different individual contract they would have to sign on to. And there's fees associated, yearly dues and such associated with that. Same with the property inspector. The main one is for the owner and the company, and then an individual one for anybody within that same firm.
Perfect. Again, pretty straightforward. Nothing, it's not rocket appliances.
No, it's pretty easy. And usually there's a checklist that I send with the package, so it breaks it down for them for what I need and what they need to do, which is getting their insurance, getting the RECA, this is for realtors, getting their RECA license sorted, all that, and then the bottom part is a checklist for myself and the processes to go through. So there's 7 or 8 little steps to take.
Perfect.
Yeah.
On that note, yeah, let's talk some forms. I know all of them are on the knowledge base. Shout out to the knowledge base. These are new forms, I understand, correct?
Yes. So 2021 updated with the pricing and such. They're fillable PDFs, which should make it easier to do it online and then just send them it right in. But yeah, they're available on knowledge base. There's a section called forms, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can go through there and I think it's all broken down.
These new forms that we have, those were revised because I helped you.
Yes.
Those were revised in order to kind of make this process process a lot faster and quicker on your end with, you know, applicable information in the right areas.
Correct.
So, you know, it is important to use these forms going forward.
Well, true enough, because there's a lot of times I get the forms in and they're missing a phone number or an email or things of that nature. I can only enter what's on the form. So if you put, say, your personal email address and then you call later because that's not the email address that you want to use, then maybe just wait until your work one has been set up and then we can put that in because there's no rush. But I need a contact point. I need some way to get you confirmation that everything's done. So try to put as much information as you can on the application forms, and then we can go in and update at any time. It's right. No problem.
Super easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to say, like, on that note, refrain from calling and asking for a status update. If there is any information that's missing that is important for Erin to process, she will contact you. And I mean,
sending it in at 3:30 on a Friday afternoon is probably not a good idea to be asking if you're going to be up and running by 4:30.
Yeah, I feel like it's definitely not an overnight decision. So if you are sitting on a new member application and you know that it's a Friday or the end of the month or anything like that, for the sake of Erin and for processing sakes, if it's late in the day, I would say just to send it in the early morning.
And also just advise that person. Everybody's excited. They want to get going. I can totally respect that. If my queue has 6 or 7 files to go through, I want to give each one of them the same respect and get them through. So if you're sending something in at, you know, 3:30, 3:45, and saying, hey, can you try to get this one out? Of course I'm going to try, but maybe just be honest with them and say she's got 24 hours to get it done. Or if it's a Friday, you know, you might have to wait till Monday. We're going to try to process as soon as possible within our limits, but try to make it clear to the new ones coming on that there is a time.
A waiting period.
A waiting period.
A very brief, but yes.
Yeah.
And it also makes your life easier, too, when they use those checklists. So checklist.
That's okay. Right.
And also, just ensuring that all of the pages are submitted and submitted together.
Together, correct.
Yeah, like a first page and a last page, it's not going to suffice. And then that delays the process even more.
Well, true that, you know. And the checklist is there so you know you've got everything together in the package. If you're looking at that checklist and you don't tick off that you have insurance or that you have the RECA license, don't send it in. Like, that should be the two most important things.
What about the intro letters? We also revised those.
We did, Corey. You're so awesome on that.
We are awesome.
So it's extremely important. I start off my email, my confirmation email, saying, please find attached confirmation of your associate membership with CARA. Please open that letter. Read the email, print off the letter so you can see it's got such valuable information.
Yeah, 98% of questions, I want to say, are answered in that letter.
Yeah, and then on the email, I give you instruction that goes with the letter. So there's kind of a double information there. But honestly, there's so many times that I know it's exciting and it's a new member and there's so much information coming in from RECA, from ARIA, from CREA. I know it's an overload. But when I send the letter and then the new member will call and say, hey, what's my login information?
It really gives you an idea that they maybe haven't read the intro letter yet.
Because it's right there. Yes. And it's also, I do point it out on their email body. You know, there's a couple spots where they can get the information. So just read it. Just read it. And then I just tried to include a couple of other little information things on our MMSI side, which is the accounting side. And a little bit of information information on the Pillar 9 FAQs, just to get them going in the right direction. But when you get this, take the time to read it, print it off, save it, because it's got all our contact information. So if you don't know who to call for Supra help, for MLS help, for accounting calls, all of that's there. And then again with the associations, it's got CREA, AREA, RECA, Showing Time.
All contact numbers, information,
yeah. Which is really, it's handy. So
it's all in one letter, too.
In one letter. It's two pages, but it's broken down really well, explains a lot. So just keep it nearby, and you can refer to it all the time. It's all of our email addresses. It tells you what you've been charged. It tells you when you're going to get charged that amount again, because we're charging quarterly now, as you know.
Yes.
I know there's a lot of information that comes in, but you can take 5 minutes and just familiarize yourself.
Yeah, and that's really all it is, too. It's five extra minutes at the end of your day, let's say, where you kind of decompress and you're like, all right, what's tomorrow going to look like? Well, I have my intro letter. I can log in tomorrow. Oh, I might need to get some lock boxes. So I've got Catherine's number here, email here.
Exactly.
Yeah, it definitely answers a lot of the questions that we get, for sure, from the new members.
Yeah, and of course, I don't want to discourage anybody from calling.
Absolutely.
I love our members. I like the calls. I like to help. Just take 1 sec, and then if there's something doesn't make sense, of course call.
Yes,
we're
anytime.
Always here.
Absolutely. Or there's also, I understand a lot of brokerages have like assistants and stuff like that that are pretty versed on all of this as well.
Yeah.
It might even be worth approaching maybe an admin or one of those lovely ladies over there, the conveyancers.
Exactly. They're awesome.
Speaking of admin, if I'm an associate and I want to hire an admin and she requires some MLS access, how do we go about doing that?
Same thing. So it's just
forms.
So it's just an MLS user agreement that she would sign on to. That would give him or her the Pillar 9 login credentials. And then if you're an unlicensed assistant, we can link you to that associate, so you're billed under the associate, if that's something you like. We tell you how you go in and you can impersonate, that's quote unquote, the associate that you're working for, so you can work on their behalf. Mm-hmm. The other side is an office administrator, and that would be for somebody that is an assistant to basically the entire office. And we've got a few of those, so there's a couple differences there on that respect. But it's the same process, and everything is signed off by the broker. And then you just send it in to me, and again, I like a 24-hour turnaround.
Absolutely.
And then it's the same. I send you the confirmation letter. I explain how to log in. I explain, you know, what the credentials are for, where they can get you, because it gets you into your area, your CREA, your web forms, pretty much all the platforms you need to use with those credentials. You'll have 1 set, so you don't have to remember a whole bunch of passwords. And
you don't need to use the associate's credentials?
No, absolutely not. Do not, under any circumstances, ever use somebody else's login credentials.
I say it louder for the people in the back.
If you don't mind a $15,000 fine, you go right ahead. But the system does have a way of tracking when one set of login credentials has been accessed from two different places. We do monitor that. It's not something that we can be tricked.
And we don't take it lightly.
I'm laughing, but you're correct. Like, it's not a joke. The whole point of having secured login credentials is the integrity of the system.
Absolutely.
So you cannot be given them out.
Correct, yeah. And it's super simple to provide those credentials to a new assistant. It's just a matter of a little bit of paperwork, right? But
yeah, and there's fees attached,
the
right? For every set of login credentials, we are getting billed for that. So, of course, we have to bill out as a result of that. And it's very fair. So, you know, when you are using somebody else's credentials, you're putting yourself and the agent or whoever at risk for this very hefty fine.
Yeah, exactly that too. So, I mean, just be mindful of that going forward, or if you're hiring an assistant.